Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you are doing unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he? Jesus answered, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills. You can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we encounter the one who was called a reluctant disciple, Nicodemus, a member of the Sanhedrin, very rich, also a Pharisee who strictly kept the interpretations of the scribes of the Mosaic Law. But he was too much of a wimp to come to Jesus during daylight. He came at night so that nobody else would see him, so that he was interested in Jesus. He thought that there was something going on there, but he didn't want to stake his life on it. So he comes and he says, there's something really happening with Jesus. He's too smart to miss it. His heart wasn't hardened, it was just weak. He said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one can do these signs you're doing unless God is with him. He knew God was with him, but he wasn't willing yet to be fully with him who was with God. And Jesus, who saw the elephant in his heart, spoke right to it. Amen, I say to you, unless one's born from above, one can't see the kingdom of God. He was telling Nicodemus that you needed to be born from above to grasp what's really going on. You needed a new birth. You couldn't stay in the old wineskins. You needed to open yourself up to the miracle God wanted to do, to that great transformation. Nicodemus wasn't ready. Starts to get into a dispute about how one can be reborn again. Obviously, one can't climb into his mother's womb again. Why would he even bring it up? Mm-hmm. Jesus, at the end, says that it's not a fleshly birth. It's a spiritual birth that he needs and we all need. Do not be amazed that I told you you must be born from above. And then he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. The word in Hebrew for spirit is the same word for breath. Ruah. It's the same in Greek, which is pneuma. So when you're talking about the Holy Spirit and you're talking about wind, it's a play on words because it's the same word there. Jesus was using that play on words to describe the reality, the work of the Spirit. The wind, in other words, the Spirit, the Ruah, the pneuma, blows where it wills. You can hear the sound it makes, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is of everyone who is born of the Spirit. You're not going to be able to see it. You're not going to be able to predict it. You just got to let the Holy Spirit do His work. And that was going to be something that Nicodemus would need a lot of courage for in order to open himself up toward that type of docility. And we would have to wait until after Jesus was in the tomb to see it. Throughout this Easter season, we focus on our baptism and what it means. At the Easter Vigil, we heard St. Paul in that 8th reading say, by baptism you have been crucified, you have died with Christ, so that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, you also might live newness of life. That there's this constant being reborn from above, which is constitutive of the Christian life. It begins in baptism, but we're constantly called to renew our baptismal life, not just at the Easter vigil when we renew our promises, but every single day. Every single day we're supposed to focus on that newness. God is constantly sending the Holy Spirit to give us a continual rebirth as He blows us wherever He wills. And when the Holy Spirit is really guiding us, we're not like Nicodemus. We're not a bunch of wimps. We're bold. We see that type of boldness led by the Spirit in today's first reading. Peter and John are just released. We heard what happened to them on Friday and Saturday. They were sternly warned by the same people who had brutally gotten Jesus murdered on the cross, never to speak about His name again. That wasn't going to be an option for them. They got together with the entire church, and the whole church was one, which is always supposed to be an image of every parish in the entire universal church. And when the church came together as one, they didn't get together and say, okay, how can we pick off that guy? How can we get away with it and not get busted and thrown in prison? They didn't strategize. They got together and they prayed as one. It's the longest prayer we have of the church in the New Testament. What do they pray for? They don't pray that God will free them from persecution. They knew that they were going to be persecuted because Jesus told them they would be persecuted. If they hated Him, they were going to hate us. If they persecuted Him, they were going to persecute us. But blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of His name. Their reward will be great in heaven. So when they got together to pray in unison, all together as one, they pray for boldness. Boldness in words and boldness in witness. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, they pray, and enable Your servants to speak Your word with all boldness as You stretch forth Your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are done through the name of Your holy servant Jesus. Courage. But not just courage, a Spirit-filled courage. And the Greek word that's used there appears throughout the Acts of the Apostles. It's the word parousia, P-A-R-R-H-E-S-I-A, which is different from the word parousia, which means Jesus' second coming. Why do I give you the word parousia? Because Pope Francis uses it all the time, and he doesn't translate it, because it can't effectively be rendered into other languages. It means this Spirit-filled, holy audacity that nothing can possibly stop. Just yesterday, as he canonized Saints John and John Paul, he used this word and he said they were both filled with holy parousia. We see that, right? John the 23rd, as a 78-year-old guy, calls the Second Vatican Council, entrusting the future of the church to the Holy Spirit. We see it in John Paul II, who in his first words in his inauguration mass said, "Be not afraid," because he recognized that most of us Christians are chickens. We're not bold. We're incapacitated by all types of fears. And he just constantly kept that refrain, "Be not afraid." It was this boldness that got him to put out into the deep for the new evangelization, trusting in God. It was this boldness that got him to go forgive Mehmet Aliaka. It was this boldness that got him, even when he was ill, still to globetrot, the equivalent of three times a round trip between Earth and the Moon. It was his boldness that got him not to come down from the cross of his suffering, even when he was going to be drooling in high-definition television for the entire world to see, suffering with Parkinson's at the end. Holy boldness. We've got so much to learn from both of them. We also celebrate today two great saints. April 28th is one of the hardest days of the ecclesiastical year for me, because there are two saints, both of whose feast day I want to celebrate. So I've basically made the choice I'll celebrate with the Easter prayers and just mention them both. First one is Saint Louis-Marie Grignion de Montfort, who died at 43 years old. He was a young priest who wanted to be a bold preacher, especially against the Jansenists, who were the modern Pharisees, who said that we could never be worthy of any God's gifts, and let's just pretend as if we're all a bunch of miserable vermin who need to go to confession only milliseconds before we receive Holy Communion, because between the confessional and the altar rail, we must be committing 100 sins. He wanted to correct that. But there were Jansenists all over France. They didn't want to hear it. The Jansenists themselves were running him out of town, trying to ambush him, persecuting him. Many bishops had aligned themselves more or less with Jansenist theology without knowing the mistake. And so they persecuted him as well. So with great boldness, he went straight to Rome. He went to see Pope Clement XI. He described to him the situation, described his own vocation story, described how he believed the Lord was calling, and Pope Clement believed him and gave him an apostolic mandate so that he could preach anywhere he wanted in France, as if it were the Pope himself preaching. And he did. He called many back to the faith. One of the things I love about St. Louis-Marie Grignion de Montfort, which you won't read in many of the books on him or articles on him, is wherever he went, wife-beating took a nosedive. He was about 6'5", 230, a great athlete. Whenever he heard that there was a husband who was abusing his wife, he would ask to meet with the husband, take the husband behind the church, and reason with him. With his fists, so that this guy would recognize just what it felt like to be a weaker human being physically. And spousal abuse was almost eliminated every time he preached a mission. But he was also incredibly bold, not just in his love for women, but in his love for Our Lady. He was the one who gave us true devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and wanted to help us to live our baptismal consecration, our being reborn from above, in a way that'll stick. And he said the greatest way for us to do that is to enter into Mary's own consecration, in her Son's consecration to the Father. And it was from his consecratory prayer that St. John Paul II took his papal motto, Totus tuus ego sum, et tota mea tua sunt, accipio te in me omnia, praebe mihi cor tuum, O Maria. Norman will translate for you now. I am all yours, Mary, and all I have is yours. I accept you into the totality of my life. Give me your heart, O Mary. He was bold. Today, as we celebrate his feast, he wants to intercede for us that we will be just as bold in living our faith the way Mary was, constantly overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And the second great saint we celebrate today died today 52 years ago, St. Gianna Beretta Mola, who died in childbirth. She's the patroness of the pro-life movement. She was a great Italian pediatrician. She'd already had a few children, but when she conceived another child, there was a problem in her uterus. There was a little bit of a detachment there. And there also a fibroma had formed within. And the doctors gave her three options. First, straight abortion. No way would she do that. Second, a hysterectomy, which would have been permitted. The baby would have died under the principle of double effect. That's not an abortion. You'd have been curing the illness, but not intending, but just merely foreseeing that the child unfortunately would die. But she refused even to do that. She said, we'll risk it, with great boldness. And when she was going in for childbirth, they knew how dangerous it was. It's still very dangerous today. And she said, while I'm under, if there's any doubt about who to save, me or my little baby, choose him. Choose him. She didn't know whether it was a boy or a girl. Turned out to be a little girl, Giannina, named after her. Child was born just fine. But as a result of childbirth, Gianna received septic peritonitis, and she died a week later, today, April 28, 1962. When St. John Paul II beatified her in 1994 and canonized her in 2004, he said that she is an incredible example not only of maternal love, but of true Christian love, which is always bold. That no one has any greater love than to lay down one's life for another. And she showed that Christ-like love by laying down her life for her little girl. Today, as we come forward to this altar, we remember that holy parousia that we see in Jesus on the cross, that we see in St. Gianna, that we've seen in St. Louis-Marie Grignion de Montfort, that we saw in John Paul II, that we saw in St. John the 23rd. If the Holy Spirit could do this type of work in them, then He can do the same in us. First reading shows us how to pray the Mass. They prayed as one. And because they were as one, the Holy Spirit came down as what the early saints called the little Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit shook the place where they were praying, filled them all with His boldness, and sent them out to show the faith by their words and by their witness. Let us ask the same Holy Spirit to come down upon us through these four saints' powerful intercession. Praise be Jesus Christ.